It's to the best of our knowledge. In this hour, we're talking about how to challenge our own beliefs, which brings to mind an even more basic question. How do we form beliefs in the first place? How does a hunch gain the status of truth? Journalist Will Storr explores those questions in his book, The Unpersuadables: Adventures with the Enemies of Science. In it, he follows Holocaust deniers, climate change skeptics, and conspiracy theorists to find out how seemingly intelligent people can hold unconventional, even irrational, beliefs. We reached him at his home in London. One of the most dramatic chapters in the book is the story of how you went essentially undercover on a tour of World War II sites with a group of Holocaust deniers. What did you hope to learn from that experience?
Yeah, I think that was probably the most emotionally difficult thing I did for the book, because as you say, it was undercover. I actually went on this seven-day tour around Holocaust sites in Eastern Europe. And it's led by a guy called David Irving, who he's very famous in the UK. He's a British historian. So he leads these tours, and on these tours were just, a bunch of neo-Nazis, a bunch of people who were still Holocaust deniers and even more kind of lost in these ideas than he was. And it ended up being really fascinating, especially the followers, because a lot of these followers, it turned out, had German parents who served in the Second World War, and they were almost on this kind of tragic fight to kind of save the reputation of their parents against history.
But there are these just completely chilling moments during your time with them. One is when you're visiting a concentration camp and you're looking at a gas chamber, and I've forgotten who it was who insists, no, this is fake.
Yes, I mean, that was David Irving himself. I mean, and that really was very upsetting. We were actually in the gas chambers, and there was a tour of students going through the gas chambers, and he just started interrupting, shouting over the tour. He said those canisters didn't hold deadly gas, they're the wrong kind of canisters, and he pointed to these doors on the gas chamber. He said, these are standard air raid doors, and he pointed out that there were handles on the inside of the doors, and he said, you know, if this was a homicidal gas chamber, there wouldn't be handles on the inside of the doors. But on the outside of the doors, there were enormous, great big bolts that would have clamped the whole thing shut over airtight seals. And so he saw what the rest of us saw, but it's almost as if he only saw the handle. That's all he saw. It was an extraordinary display of how selective our perception can be in only seeing the things that reinforce our personal truth.
Yeah, which winds up being the theme of your book, the way in which our beliefs, in fact, are not rooted in rational thought, but instead are often the product of unconscious emotions. I mean, where do those emotions, I guess, where do our beliefs come from in the first place?
We rely very much on our unconscious minds to decide what's true. You know, we believe what we feel is true, not what we're told is true. And the feelings come first, and you know, and the feelings are compromised, they're biased. And what we do is that we make a very instant judgment. And then we go out into the world looking for evidence just to reinforce that hunch. And that search in the world, it feels like we're being objective and sensible and weighing up evidence this way and that way. But we're not. All we're doing is looking for evidence that supports our view.
So are you saying we start with a belief, like let's say a homophobe thinks homosexuality is evil. You're saying we start with that belief, but we don't even know why we believe that. We just do. And then no matter what we're confronted with, we simply keep confirming our bias. Our brain kind of screens out all the reasons we might be wrong.
Yeah, this is true. But we become vulnerable to self-deceit when we feel extremely emotional about something. So one of the guys I interviewed is a brilliant author and psychologist called Professor Jonathan Haidt. And he told me that, you know, we were perfectly capable of coming to a rational decision about something, say, on climate change. If we go into that position not really caring either way, if climate change is real or false, you know, if we don't really care, then we've got every possibility of coming to a rational conclusion and weighing the evidence successfully and fairly.
Oh, so we should be most skeptical of ourselves when we care a lot about our beliefs?
That's the scary thing. I mean, he actually said to me, if you want to find irrationality, look for the things that we're most emotional about. Look for the things that we make sacred. And you see it every day on, you know, very fraught debates on Twitter, whether it be about gun control or feminism. You know, people get so emotional about it. And when, I don't know, for me now, when I see that level of emotionality, I just back away, because I don't think you're going to get much out of that conversation.
And I want to be clear, you're not saying that we're sloppy thinkers or that we don't have the brains or the wit to question our assumptions. It's not about us being stupid about some things.
Definitely not. No, this is just the way the human brain works. We are surrounded by a superabundance of information. Some scientists believe it's millions of bits of information we can absorb at any moment, and we're aware of something like 40 or 50. So, you know, one of the ways, you know, it has to pass that information in a certain way. Essentially, it lies to us by telling us partial truths, and because it's a way of simplifying the world.
The depressing thing is that it almost sounds like you're saying we're all prone to bias. We all have beliefs that we've developed irrationally, and we simply keep confirming them over and over again, and our neural circuitry perpetuates our bias. So how are we supposed to figure out whose opinions we can trust?
Well, that's it. It's completely disorientating and terrifying, I agree. But it's, you know, fascinating nonetheless. And I guess if there is a hero to my book, it is the scientific method. You know, we're creatures of story. We experience our lives as stories that are populated with heroes and villains. And, you know, we're obsessed with our own mission, our own heroic mission in the world. And is this the way that we kind of experience the world that makes us vulnerable to self-deceit? Because we tend to believe the things our allies tell us and disbelieve the things that people that we don't feel allied to tell us. But the method that has blown all this apart, all these distortions of bias, the thing that's blown that apart is the scientific method. I mean, it's designed to take all of that away and leave only truth. I mean, obviously it's flawed, but it's the method we have that does away with all these kind of toxins.
So, Will, after all of this, did you uncover, do you have any kind of practical day-to-day advice for how to question your own beliefs?
I think the main thing is just to watch out when you're becoming emotional about something, when you feel that kind of heat rising in your chest, because those are the warning signs, those are the red flags. You know, when your brain, it's not going to go out there and defend you by saying, hang on a minute, listen to what the other person's saying. It's going to defend you, make yourself feel good by telling you you're right and they're wrong. And so I think that's the main thing.
Will Storr is the author of The Unpersuadables, Adventures with the Enemies of Science.